Good morning. This is Regina. I know it's been a while since I've done an RDA Today recording. There are two reasons for that. One is I was gone. I was in Israel for almost 2 weeks. And the second reason is when I returned from Israel, I became ill. The illness was interesting. It started off as what seemed to be just a cold. I hadn't had a cold in several years, so it was a bit of a surprise, but it was just a cold. But then, on Monday of this week, about 2 p.m. in the afternoon, it seemed to turn, quite severe. A headache came on that I'm calling migraine-like. But it was not a migraine. In the past, I've had migraines, so I know what they are. This was different. This was specifically related to this sickness. But it was very, very intense. And what I experienced was suffering that I would call shocking. What I noticed about this suffering was that it was so strong that I could not possibly deny it. In fact, when my roommate came home from work that day, what I said to her was, "Danielle, I am suffering." She was surprised to hear those words from me. There's also a picture of Jesus that hangs in my bedroom, which is where I was laying, and so I was looking at this picture of Jesus, and at one point I even heard myself calling out to Jesus, to that picture of Jesus as a symbol of grace. Help me. I noticed that when I was engaged in the suffering that I could not separate myself from it. And what I mean by that is often I have now a natural experience of observing the personality, observing the world, but not feeling like that's what I am. But during the suffering, even when I notice within me a desire to kind of shift away from it and look at it rather than be it, I couldn't seem to do that. Now, I'll keep the story short. I won't tell you all the wonderful things that happened in order to move me beyond the suffering. I'll just keep it brief by saying medication happened. Although the way the medication came about is an interesting story in itself, and I think maybe the answer to my request helped me. But we'll skip that story. That's not what's important now. What's important now is that the suffering did end around 2 a.m. the next day. So it lasted about 12 hours. And then after that, I continued to remain sick, but not suffering. And during the time that I was sick, what I noticed was that I felt more like Regina than I have in years. It's like, it was like somebody that I used to know was back. I could really feel her like I hadn't felt her in a long time. And there was even this, I remember now who she is and what she felt like. It's kind of like for me, this awakening process has been almost a gradual fading of the personality. And so since the personality is fading gradually, it's not a spontaneous boom for me. Sometimes there's just not even a noticing of how much it's fading. But when she was back, I could remember who she was, and I recognized her. And I realized I didn't need her. I didn't want her. There was no judgment against her. It was just kind of a heaviness that didn't seem necessary. Last night, about 9 p.m., this would have been the the third day of the illness, or the third day since the headache started anyway. I suddenly felt, you could say it was just like somebody lifted the veil off of me, like in a moment I suddenly knew I was well, that it was over. And I slept well last night. And I woke up this morning feeling incredibly light, like a butterfly who has emerged from a cocoon. Both embraced by love and love itself. And with clarity in what I'm going to call for right now, purpose. There's kind of a knowing that I am being guided, moved in what I am to do, and that I will just do it. And it doesn't have any obstacles. No personality obstacle will get in the way. And I woke up this morning also seeing the sickness as an incredible gift. And I'm grateful for it. And so now this brings me to my topic. I suffered. I really suffered. I don't want to pretend like I didn't. And now I'm calling that a gift. So does that mean that God makes you suffer in order to awaken? The answer is no. God is not what made me suffer. I suffered because of a belief in my mind. Grace is what allowed me to see the belief. And grace somehow turned its love on it, and grace is now presently healing it. Let me explain by telling you a personal story. In the last couple of months, a few things have happened which have brought something to my attention. One thing that happened is that my mother found out that she needed bypass surgery on her heart. And after her surgery, I was talking to her, and she told me a story about how they had this tube, this fairly large tube that was going down her mouth and throat, and how for the most part the tube wasn't a problem because she was so heavily medicated that, you know, she didn't even notice it. But towards the end, they knew they were going to take the tube out, and so they didn't renew the medication on schedule, and the medication began to wear off. And then this tube was in her, and it began to become extremely uncomfortable. She began to, like, have the feeling of wanting to gag, but even the tube was in the way of her being able to gag. And she wanted to rip the tube from her mouth, but her hands were tied down to the bed so that she wouldn't, because they knew that this was an automatic reaction. So there she was, if I remember correctly, for approximately 30 minutes in this position of suffering. And when she told me that story, I noticed an intense reaction in me, a fear of suffering. A couple days later, I was with a friend riding in the car, and he talked about his fear of death. And I told him, I said, I don't have a fear of death. I have a fear of suffering. And I knew when I said that I was speaking a truth, that I really had a fear of suffering. Then, during my Seven Steps work one day, I found myself writing this: something is not healed in me. It is my perception of the worst of the worst. Extreme suffering and unacceptable conditions. These, I feel, I do not want to be real. And this feeling comes from the fear that they are. It comes from the fear that the illusion of a spiritual reality stops here, where the absolute reality of suffering is too real to be denied. In other words, there was a belief in me that suffering was more real than truth, and that we could pretend truth was true as long as we weren't truly suffering. But when the physical pain became strong enough, there was no hope of a realization of truth, because the pain itself was more real. On my trip to Israel, we came across a calf who was suffering. He had some type of illness or something, and he was laying down, unable to get up, and he'd been abandoned by his mother because there was nothing she could do. And I didn't suffer any reaction from that. There was nothing in me that was really afraid for the cow or anything. I felt at peace the entire time we were with the cow. But I did want for him death. I felt that death was better than suffering. There's a duality there. You hear it? I felt that death was better than suffering. And there came the point where he had not yet died, and we had to leave him and move on. And I was sad. I noticed tears falling because he had not achieved the peace of death. And I had to leave him laying there suffering. All of this points to a theme that was in my mind. That belief that suffering was more real than truth, that belief is what brought on my own suffering, not God. In fact, to continue to look at my Seven Steps journal, item number 714A is where I talked about that the belief in suffering is not healed in me. Item 714B, I wrote, when a belief is in the mind, that belief is perceived. And when the suffering came during my illness, remember I told you, I could not separate myself from it. There was a belief that suffering is more real than truth. And so when the suffering was present, it seemed that the awareness of truth could not be reached. It was unachievable. This was merely an experience brought about by a belief in the mind. C in my journal says, when one believes what appears in the world, true seeing is blocked by the choice for false perception. This is what I had made, was a choice for false perception, and I was not seeing that I was consistently making that choice by continuing to fear suffering, by continuing to believe that suffering was more real than reality. C714D, the belief in an I who believes and perceives is the root of all false perception. Without an I to believe and perceive, what false perception could appear? I told you that even after the suffering ended, there seemed to be a strong presence of the Regina personality. This personality has been fading in me, but this personality is not dead. She's not dead because some of her beliefs, some of her fears, are still present. And as long as there is even a smidgen of her left, then her remaining beliefs, remaining fears can be experienced. The only way to not experience what she believes, what she fears, is for there to be no her. Sometimes when things happen to people, they analyze them and they want to know what belief in me caused this. When I was sick, I knew intuitively not to analyze it. What I'm sharing with you now did not come about through analyzing. I knew that to think about it was actually to reinforce the personality. To think about it was to believe that the personality could come up with the answer. I still had that much clarity, even in the illness. But when I woke up this morning free of the illness, I suddenly understood what that belief was. It was given by grace, the seeing that it was the belief in suffering that I experienced. The seeing that this was still a part of the personality that was still attached or had not been let go or healed or seen through. And then there was also this incredible knowing that through my willingness, love was now looking on that belief and it was being healed or it was disappearing, that I do not need to fear suffering anymore because that fear itself is going to die. And when it dies, there can't be that experience of suffering being more real than reality. It cannot exist without the belief. I know that that is being taken care of now by grace. I know it so much that if you could feel the joy in my heart, it is as incredible, more incredible than the suffering was. It's so light. Number 17 and 715 in my journal said, "Do not allow the apparent severity of an appearance distract from the cause of the appearance. Whatever you look upon, remember it comes from the mind. Look at the mind, see the culprit idea, and then look beyond the idea to that which is not affected." But one thing I was also aware of throughout the entire experience, even though I wasn't aware of it as an experience, I was aware that awareness was unchanged. Somehow I was completely in the suffering, but awareness was the same as it always was. This I knew also to be true. Sometimes people have experiences, like I have a friend who recently has been going through a lot of intense fear. And one thing he said to me was, "I cannot separate myself from the fear." I'm sure he has the same experience that I had when I could not separate myself from the suffering. And I also saw in him, I think, this fear that God was the one bringing on the fear somehow. It's not God. It was the fear of the fear itself that brought on the fear. Just like with me, it was the fear of the suffering that brought on the suffering. And if you have fear of particular types of thoughts in your mind, it's that fear that brings on those thoughts. And if you have fear of loneliness, it's that fear that brings on the loneliness. It is not God. But it is God that is there with you. Another thing that happened when I was in this phase of suffering, at one point I also said, "I'm willing for anything." And I meant, of course, to end this suffering. I'm willing for anything. Does that include being willing to let go of the belief that suffering is more real than reality? Does that include being willing to see that it's only a belief and nothing more than that? Yes. I didn't make the belief in suffering go away. I didn't even make myself realize that that was the cause of the problem. I was only as present as I could possibly be. And when it seemed like that presence was not much at all, I did not judge myself for how into the suffering I was, and not judging myself was as present as I could possibly be. And if I had judged myself, that not judging myself for judging myself would have been as present as I could possibly be. All I did was my best to be present, to somehow not be 100% into the experience, even if it was 99.5. And that little bit was all grace needed. If there had been something in me that had said, this is it, this is proof, suffering is more real than reality, I don't know if healing would have occurred. But I didn't have that insistence, in spite of the strength of the experience. This little willingness is where miracles come from. And trust me, this has been a miracle for me. Anything that is not of God is not of God. God does not bring on your suffering. Your beliefs do. But God can heal those beliefs with willingness. Willingness is the same as not insisting that you're right about your experience, no matter how strong the experience is. If you insist that you're right about it, insist that fear is fearful, that suffering is more real than anything else, that these thoughts in your mind right now are bad thoughts, but then you aren't allowing the opening, you aren't opening the door to grace. And that door only needs to be open a crack. It was only open a crack in me. And yet a crack is all that grace needs. That's all. I hope this was helpful to someone.